Hey guys, what's up?
Hello.
Who is this?
It does sound like there's rushing water around you.
It doesn't? I'm sorry. Yeah, it's... I'm in my mobile command unit.
No. Well,
just imagine because I'm driving a Jeep.
Wow.
With a little 2'9" Filipino Mr. Wang.
Nice.
And Gordon with an Indian strapped to the hood. A guy in a Tonto outfit. That's why there's air versus, yeah. I'm trying to tie it in. I'm probably doing a really bad job.
Well, let me ask you something. Did you just like pick them up from a concert? I hear they're a pretty good band.
You heard it's a pretty good band?
Mm-hmm. That Wing Wing's got some pipes.
Wing Wing, I don't know if, like, how much, like, who dubbed that? So I don't know, like,
Big Jim Slade, really... former tight end of the Kansas City Chiefs.
Oh.
Yeah.
Was there just a Kansas City Chiefs reference? I'm kind of glad that it kind of got a little murky.
Well, I was thinking of Big Jim Slade from a Kentucky Pride movie.
Oh, yeah. Big Jim Slade. Did you feel, well, I guess, should we start with saying what movie we are featuring?
Well, first I want to apologize. I'm running a little behind because I had to get a workout in, and I really did work some things out because I completely cleared the gym. And it was like I had my headphones on, so I didn't care if I could hear it, but I was just like, on the elliptical, I was like doing it in rhythm almost. And,
oh boy!
But I had to get a workout in because I've been eating is a leftover chili for the last couple of days.
Well, I saw that you had a picture up of chili and it's very apropos because I just finished at about 3 or 4 o'clock my time my last of my chili that I made the day after Thanksgiving.
Nice.
And there's nothing like, I love making like a big pot of goulash or chili.
Oh,
and then
man.
you've got food for like 4 days.
Well, and I decided to kick it up a notch with a little bit of the scorpion pepper hot sauce, which in terms of pepper scale, it's bigger than Ghost and it's bigger than like habanero. So it's like,
ooh.
It's pretty hot, but I've grown accustomed to it. But I don't think anybody else around me has. So, I'm running late, so I'm going to be celebrating our Thanksgiving. I guess this is our post-Thanksgiving epidose with having some really spicy chili, and hopefully you guys will be thankful that you don't have to smell me during the taping. So, John, you brought it up, man. How was your guys' Thanksgiving? How's it go?
Mine was pretty low key for once. I didn't travel. I didn't travel anywhere. It's kind of good and bad, but at my office, we have to kind of enter it in the lottery system to get the time off.
Oh, that's lame.
So I have a little bit of Christmas time off. I'm not even coming back to the Midwest for Christmas because I have to work on the 26th, but I have the 27th off. So basically, I do a lottery for each day.
So basically, what you're saying is that you're going to have Christmas, show up and act like you're working for a day, and then have a day off.
No, actually, I have Christmas Eve and Christmas off. And at this point, I'm not going anywhere, so I almost feel like I should go work Christmas Eve.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, but I'm kind of like, yeah. And I've offered it to anybody that really needs the time off. But no, my Thanksgiving was very, it was a mix of the traditional and the non-traditional. I was just kind of hanging out. We have a new little cat that we're fostering. So that was cool. And the cat seems to like to sleep like right on my neck.
Is that why you're driving? Is that why you're driving? You're going to dump the cat off the road somewhere or something?
Oh, man, dude. I don't want to go.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I have that crazy cat person gene, so I really just had to stop from going into a cat story. Or six. So, like, oh, that's bad. There's nothing brings in listeners like cat stories. Yeah. But no, I had a meal of there was a McDonald's that was open on First Street, and I saw that a few weeks or maybe a week earlier, and I perked up. I was like, ooh, McDonald's. So I figured like that would be my treat of, you know, because, you know, I would imagine McDonald's at a big Thanksgiving meal, calorie wise.
You know what? That's ironic that you said that. Is that that was our second meal on Thanksgiving Day. We drove up to Kansas City. We hung out with Tim before Thanksgiving, so we had a little pre-Gonzo.
I know, I'm so jealous.
Well, we got some future, we got some good stuff maybe for a couple of episodes. I can't wait to get to.
You guys went to my favorite place as a child and as an adult, so we called Flea Market.
That is,
and I heard you got to meet toy action figure man Blowhard.
Yeah. Oh yeah, you know, you gotta have. What was it? What was he saying, Tim? He was saying that we gotta spend about $1,200 together to get the UPCs to get this $800 email Luke Skywalker thingy.
His math didn't even make sense.
He was just talking out of his ass.
Yeah, that guy is. The last time I was there, there was a G.I. Joe did have like a cross promotion with Street Fighter, and. You know, I had one of them, but there was one that I'd never seen before. I was like, well, that's kind of cool. And he just has everything just kind of loose and around. And I thought, well, you know, it's like $5 or, you know, $6 or $7. Maybe I'll buy it. And I asked him, like, well, how much for the Street Fighter? $30. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. And it's like, I just think that he just kind of comes up with these prices. But the oddest thing was he found out that I was visiting, I told him where I'm, you know, he's like, oh, where do you live? And I said, oh, I live in California. And he goes, and I was buying a Doctor Who magazine, like an old one. And he goes, do you know this guy who runs a Doctor Who club, fan club out in California? His name is John. And I kind of looked at Tim, I was tempted to almost go, oh, yeah, it's a good friend. I mean,
yeah.
You know, it's like, this is kind of a big state. I don't know if people are really, you know, it's not like Seinfeld where I run into people I know every day in the street. It's yeah. Sorry, sidetracking already. But yeah, did you guys, Tim, get the holiday pie yet?
Not yet. I have not. I have not ventured out to find out if they even have it here.
Hold on. Sorry, I mean, but what I want to point out is that we hung out with Tim.
Oh, yeah, this one.
And we went to Kansas City, and we hung out. We had Thanksgiving with my folks, and my dad, bless his heart, forgot how to actually use the electric turkey carver. So we had to essentially carve the turkey for him. Which is actually...
He forgot how to use it?
Yeah, like, he forgot how to use the electric turkey carver, which actually, it's actually pretty sad now that I talk about it. But, that's okay, that's why I drink. Anyway, but it was all fun. We had a good meal. Kelly made a, because my dad can't eat gluten. He's got celiac disease.
Okay.
Kelly made a peanut butter pie. Which is peanut butter and chocolate and like whipped topping and cream cheese, and it was awesome. But that was the first meal day. We hung out in the afternoon, then we went home. We were staying at a friend's house, and we tried to find like the one day of the year that I refuse to eat roller food from Quick Trip is Thanksgiving. And Kelly, conversely, was like wanted to eat. The roller food and Quick Trip, and I'm like, no, we gotta find something. So we try to hit some grocery stores, didn't happen. So we like looped around, like, all right, we're gonna go back to Quick Trip. Lo and behold, we take a right turn, and it's like golden angel arches that lit above us, and McDonald's was open. So we went and ate McDonald's, and I had the CBO, the cheddar, bacon, onion, Angus burger, which...
Yeah, how is that?
It's kind of overrated, although I think it's just the guys... I think it might have been the guys who were working, because Kelly got food poisoning from it.
Oh!
So she was...
They were probably making the food, like, it's Thanksgiving, let's not wash our hands today, man.
See, that's what it was, because my burger was a little cold, and she had the chicken, and I think that's what kind of done her in.
Oh, man.
So, but, I mean, outside of that, Thanksgiving was pretty good. I also, And I hate to beat you guys to it. I saw the Thanksgiving sequel. And is it? And I'm just gonna save you the trouble right now. It's a ginormous piece of shit. Don't watch it. The first Thanksgiving was awesome. It's classic. It's special.
You know, I've never seen is Thanksgiving. I always get confused with this, and I actually this is really showed you, I guess, where my mind is for as far as like Thanksgiving tradition. I watched the trailer that Eli Roth did, that Thanksgiving or whatever he did for the Grindhouse.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever seen that trailer that he made? And
yeah,
you know, for the fake trailer.
Yeah, I saw that.
So there's actually.
Because
keep talking over everyone.
No, the killer fucks a human dressed up as a turkey at the end.
Well, yeah, it's so disturbing, and I couldn't really, it was a lot of quick cuts, and I couldn't tell what was going on, but I remember reading an interview with Eli Roth, and he said that when he was trying to make a horror movie, like just a clip, he said, no one ever does the holiday of Thanksgiving. But then Tim said, no, there's that what's it called, the one that you guys...
It's called Thanksgiving.
Is it old or new? I don't know
anything
about it.
It's relatively new, and it features a puppet turkey murdering people. All you need to know is that in the movie, the turkey carjacks someone.
Oh, man.
Now, the sequel goes over...
Is it worth seeing?
The first one is. And I'm saving I'm saving you the trouble now. The second one is not worth your time. It is over the top, and like there's like bad movies that are funny, which is what Thanksgiving was, and then there's bad movies that are just not funny, and they're so over the top, and you can realize that they're trying so hard. You can either realize they're trying so hard, or they just do not give a fuck whatsoever. And it's like if you get that come across in your movie, then it makes it even real harder to like plow through it and finish it. It's just a terrible movie. Don't see Thanksgiving sequel.
Did the first one take itself seriously or no?
I don't know if it did, Tim. What do you think?
No, it was a little bit tongue in cheek, but it was goofy enough that it was funny. Like he puts on a pair of glasses and a mustache and people think he's a human, even though he's a turkey.
So that makes me that's your kind of mature I am. I was like, that's funny.
Well, no.
I was thinking of the gratuitous mark.
Tim, I hate to correct you. He cuts the guy's face off and he wears it as a mask.
Oh, okay, oh, yeah. That's not funny.
I think when he first comes to the door before he cuts the guy's face off, he's wearing like a fake glasses and a wig or something. I thought he did.
Well, my question is, how does the turkey do that? He doesn't have any.
All right, so get on Netflix. Get on Netflix and watch it. It's awesome. It's really
good. It's on Netflix.
Okay.
Just don't see the sequel. Just don't.
Okay.
He compared the sequel to the underground comedy movie.
Yeah.
Ooh.
I think it was even worse. I actually there's one or two scenes, like the Michael Clark Duncan scene was hilarious. I laughed my ass off.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. There was no redeeming quality or anything funny in this.
Wow, it's funny how we have our two movies that we always our go to besides our Miggy's fascination,
yeah.
And it is for good. Like I feel like Sunny Boys are Citizen Kane, right? And the underground comedy movie is the
Plan 9,
you know, the worst of it. What would that be? That would be like our Red Dawn or something?
That would be our Ishtar.
Our Red Dawn remake. Ishtar. Well, you know what? The Entertainment Weekly did this article one year, and it was about the worst movies that really aren't that bad.
Oh, yeah.
And I wish I could find the article, but they listed Ishtar.
Hmm.
And they said, you know, Ishtar's actually a pretty good movie, is what they said. That they also listed Ford Fairlane. The Andrew Dice Clay movie.
That movie wasn't too bad.
Yeah. I mean, it was entertaining. I mean, it's funny, the Booty Time. You get to see Ed O'Neill.
Do Booty Time.
Sing that song.
See, that's the thing. It's like, you can remember scenes in those movies. You can't remember anything in Thanksgiving. Sequel.
From Ishtar? I can remember the song from Ishtar, one of them that they were working on at the start. Telling the truth can be dangerous business. Cricket.
I have not seen that movie, so I'm sorry.
I've seen bits and pieces of it. It's not I don't know. I feel like there's movies that I should like give it a shot. Well, you know, like one of these days I'm gonna try.
Well, speaking of bits and pieces, Tim, you were talking about a holiday pie. What is this holiday pie?
It exists in California, but McDonald's makes, similar to their other pies, a holiday pie with a crust that is like a sugar cookie, and then they have a custard in the middle.
Whoa.
Yep.
And I think it might be a weird California McDonald's thing, but I haven't found that.
Well, I didn't know about it until last year, and a girl I work with said something about, oh, have you had the holiday pie? And I'm like, oh, well, the apple or the cherry? She's like, no, the holiday pie. And they also make pumpkin pie out here, too, which I was telling, I don't know if they do that in the Midwest, but they make the little, like, apple pies, but pumpkin version of them, too. So, but this holiday pie, it's amazing. And I, sadly, got two of them.
Man, I'm going to have to look around. I don't know if they have it down here. I'm going to have to look around.
Yeah, I feel like someday when I'm having, you know, when I'm dying from eating poorly and like being, you know, clogged arteries, I'm gonna be like, see, you have so much enthusiasm for this fast food garbage.
Well,
and it's gonna kill you.
Well, speaking of something in California, fast food wise, now on the way back,
oh yeah, I know this is going.
Well,
I like this.
Well, here, let me talk slow and low for you then, partner.
So, I just had it Saturday and cracked my tooth eating it.
Oh, are you talking about, we stopped off in Fort Worth and they had an In-N-Out burger. And
yep.
We went to In-N-Out burger and it was delicious.
It's really good. A lot of people out here hate Sonic. And Sonic is like one of my favorite fast foods, but I think the In-N-Out burger is better than Sonic. That's the first place I took Tim to eat when he came to visit.
Damn right.
Was In-N-Out.
When Kelly was in California for my brother's wedding, we tried to go to an In-N-Out, but it wasn't open yet, and we had to get on a flight, so she missed it. So food poisoning aside, I was like, we're going. And she's a tough cookie. She was able to put down a cheeseburger. I, on the other hand, got a double-double animal style. And I think I asked for cheese on the fries, and they put cheese, the diced, the caramelized onions, and the burger sauce on my fries. I was so happy.
Yeah. I think that's animal style for the fries, too, if I remember correctly.
I asked for cheese, and the lady was like, it'll be $2.06. I'm like, I don't care. I want cheese on it. And then they brought it out to me, and it had all that extra stuff. I was like, okay, I can do this.
Do you know they have a secret menu, too?
They had to, because I asked animal style, and they gave it to me, so...
They have the Flying Dutchman, and if you go to their website, you get a grilled cheese, too.
As soon as I found out there was In-N-Out in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, I spent a good hour before we left just, like, plotting and scheming and trying to figure out, like... I was like mixing and matching secret menu items to see which one fits my personality the best.
I do that too, and I feel a lot better hearing you say that because like when I do eat, I'm like okay, I'm just gonna eat something really bad, and then I'm like, do I want a fish fillet? Do I want a big, you know, it's like on the drive over there, it's like planning out like, what am I going to spend this gift card on? It's really, it makes me sad, but I'm not sad now hearing that. I'm not the only one.
Can you put a fish fillet on the Big Mac?
Yes, I want.
Well, it's like
a surf and turf at McDonald's, please.
Well, I was talking to Joe McDonald one time on the phone, and he was going through McDonald's drive-thru, and he just stopped and he goes, hang on a sec, I got to order. And he goes, can I get a double quarter pounder with the Big Mac sauce? And they're like, sure. And he got back on the phone. I was like, you're a genius. I was like, they can do that? And he's like, yeah, of course they can do that. It's delicious. And I'm like, wow. But I don't know why. Like, and if you think about it in a weird philosophical way, like I'm holding up the people who make the food at McDonald's as some sort of like magical beings that they can control this. Like, they can do it or they cannot do it. Like, I'm giving them this power. Like, they can do this?
They just take the Big Macs an hour.
And fire it onto the quarter pounder.
That might have been our problem on Thanksgiving, is that Kelly might have said, I'll also have some food poisoning to go with that. And they're like, that's what the lady said. Let's taint this burger. Let's taint this.
Well, you got to imagine that could probably be one of the worst duties to draw, like, on Thanksgiving. You know, like, the job is probably not that much fun anyhow. But then they go, oh, and by the way, you're going to work Thanksgiving, too. They're like, oh, you'll get holiday pay. But since we're only paying you 36 cents an hour, so you're going to be making $1.50 an hour. And yeah, no, it's no good. No good. But Tim, your Thanksgiving was pretty good, wasn't it? You went to KC, right?
Went to KC. Mike stopped by. We played some before KC. We stopped. Oh yeah, I should say that. He stopped here, and we went to a breakfast joint called the Beacon.
Yes, and it was a good greasy spoon.
It's the that little greasy spoon down by the Wichita Eagle.
Oh, has it always been there? Like it's a million years old?
It's been there for a long time, and it's awesome.
They have buffalo sausage in like sausage patty form.
And they have corned beef hash, and they'll pretty much put their spicy sausage gravy on everything.
Oh, it's so good.
I'm just laughing because we're talking about food so much that if anyone doesn't know us personally, they're like, these guys have all got to be 400 pounds of meat.
and I just pounded my scorpion chili, and I'm kind of still hungry.
I'm so hungry right now, and this is not healthy.
Well, it's Thanksgiving, though. It's the holidays. That's the marquee of the holidays, is that you eat way too much, and you eat a lot of bad food, and it seems like for us, it was like a good, healthy combination, and I say healthy lightly, of like Thanksgiving type food and fast food and like fast food combinations and things like that. And just, it was a good Thanksgiving. I have to agree, except for Kelly getting sick. Well, I didn't get sick, but
yeah,
but
well, I mean, you know, but it's always a damper when you're traveling. You know, that's I always hated it, like, when you were on tour or anything and somebody, like, got a cold, because then, you know, you all have a cold. And there's nothing worse than not feeling good and having to be in a moving vehicle. It's just not – it's just being away from home so good when you're sick.
And that's what Thanksgiving, you know, is. You know, if you get together, you feel good, you know. I mean, like, that's what the Indians – we got together with the Indians and we invented fast food, and now we're celebrating that.
So you're saying it wasn't infected blankets, it was fast food?
Yeah. They taught us how to plant corn maize, and we turned it into waffle fries. those Indians. Oh, yeah. I'm glad we gave them a quarter an inch of land for all the work that they've done for us.
Yeah. I mean, then I guess you'd have a how much land you get and how delicious your fries that you teach people how to make. So
you know what though? Okay, so now we're still talking about delicious food. How come there hasn't been any Native American food restaurant chains? Like there's Middle Eastern, there's Italian, there's European, and European food sucks. Like, your English food sucks.
Oh, yeah.
But Italian's French is okay, but English food sucks. And they're still like, you know, a pub, yeah, you can get bangers and mash. And it's like, yeah. But there's
Native
food joints.
Well, like, Native American food, though, I know that I used to work with a guy that I don't know what tribe he was from, but his family was, and he had actually talked about he wanted to do a food truck because they had a certain kind of taco thing that they made with a certain type of corn shell and everything. And he always eats.
That's awesome.
They do what?
They
fried
what?
Bread.
A fried bread?
I don't know what you
said. Fried bread.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That stuff is good. I don't know what it's called.
I don't care. It's good.
Well, I mean, where is that fast food joint? I mean, they can't all be in casinos. They have to be somewhere.
It's hard to come up with a tasteful mascot for us.
What?
Yeah.
You don't even need. You could just do like the fried bread. Like fried bread. That's it. You know. Or Well, Flying Eagle. I mean, the Flying Eagle fried bread truck. There you go. That's...
Well, you know what, though? But you think about, like, not all Indian mascots are as offensive as, like, the Cleveland Indians one. But you think of, like, Land O'Lakes Butter, that's a pretty classy one.
No, Washington. Well, the Washington Redskins, they're, I mean, the name is kind of racist. But, I mean, the logo, at least, is pretty tasteful. But, well, dude, that, there's a whole con, especially in college sports, there's a whole controversy over, like, racist Indian school names. And there's even a division, and even a division in between tribes about having Indian Native Americans as, like, mascots. Like, North Dakota State got rid of theirs. Illinois' Chief Illiniwek is no longer, like, a mascot there because of it. But yet, like, Florida State still has the Seminoles, and they're sponsored by tribes. It's so interesting because it's like you know, you try to out politically correct somebody else, but then it's like, no, you know, we're still going to keep this because we have Indians in our pocket or something. I don't know. It's just it's just fascinating.
Well, I guess it's kind of tradition too. I mean, yeah, some of those names have been around like for the teams for a long time too. So
And that's why
I didn't know that they were sponsors though. That's interesting.
Yeah, I mean they'll get tribes to sign off. And that's what was interesting about the North Dakota State one is that they had one tribe who was for it and like another tribe who was against it. So it was even like now thankfully like a war didn't break out or anything. I don't know what the hell happens there, but like it wasn't even like you know the white man versus the Native American. It was like Native Americans themselves were like, okay, is this really worth it or not? And it's just so, yeah, it's really interesting because people were throwing shit fits over a mascot name. And you're right, John. It's tradition, really. I mean, if they're getting rid of, that's my take on the whole thing is that if they're getting rid of the Native American mascots, then they need to get rid of the Fighting Irish mascot because that is the same thing, and nobody has
a problem. Well, and like even the Celtics guy looks kind of like a little. I mean, like
he
a
looks
little
like
Irish
a little
man,
potato eater. Know? He does.
Yeah. Well, and you know when I the high school I went to, and I don't know if it's changed, which I showed you how in tune I am to my roots, I guess. But it was the Red Demons, and it seemed like. I don't know how often this would happen. My sister would probably know better than I, but people are very religious in the Midwest, and at some point, almost like every 2 or 3 years, someone would go paint a cross or something over the water tower because it had a big red demon face. So that was the logo, was this gnarly devil. It was pretty cool. I thought it was, you know. But there were a lot of people that protested it, and you'd always see letters in the editor. And I don't know if they end up caving. I was thinking for some reason they did, that they did change it. I'm going to have to look that up. Not that anyone cares.
They changed it to the Fighting Jesuses.
The what?
The Fighting Jesuses.
Yeah. There's a really great Saturday. There's a Saturday Night Live sketch that was really great when they were trying to come up with unoffensive. And I feel like I've talked about this before, too. Boy, like 9 episodes in and I'm already repeating myself. but there was a Saturday Night Live sketch where they were trying to come up with the name, and one of them ended up being the Flaming Envelope, which said that was like for an unoffensive theme. I don't have like a ton of time, sure. Like a half hour maybe or so. We're all thankful.
Speaking of Little Red Demons, this week's the movie that we watched was what? Wang Wang? The Wild Wang?
Wild West Wang.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Wild Wang. I pulled
some facts about him.
Yeah.
As well, because... And the way that I found out about this is I just happened to, there's a show I watch called Creepy Coffee Movie on Saturdays where they play old movies. And they talk in between them and they have stand-up comedians. It's actually a really fun show. It's online too, if you want to watch it. But the first one, the thing I saw with Wang Wang was, like
I'm gonna
James
you,
Bond.
I'm going to tell you right now, every time we say Wang Wang, I'm going to laugh a little bit.
That's okay. Well, I don't know if that name means something. You know, like, does it mean Bob Bob? Or
I think it means...
Dave Dave?
John, I think it means two of something.
His name is Ernesto de la Cruz, He was born September 7th, 1957. He only lived to 1992. And he's a Filipino actor, martial. He's only 2 feet 9 inches.
And he's
a, and he's listed in the Guinness World Records as the shortest adult actor in a leading role.
Wow.
So yeah, this call, they call it here in the Wild Wild Wang.
So he's even shorter than Tom Cruise then, right?
I didn't see that one coming. I did not see that one coming at all. They said that when he was born that he was no bigger than a small Coke bottle.
Did they try to drink him?
Wow, are you going for the trifecta? But let's see if I can get, let's see if I can softball you up one more. But there's been documentaries and stuff about it here. Okay, so here's what I found interesting. It says that Wang Wang, at the height of his popularity, Wang Wang was invited by then First Lady Imelda Marcos to the Malacanang Palace in honor for his contribution to Philippine cinema. He was also named an honorary Philippine secret agent and was presented a custom-made 25 caliber pistol by then Vice Chief of Staff General Fidel Ramos. Since he was also frequently seen during this time as a guest on popular TV shows, film festivals, and award nights. And this is in the Philippines, he's a household name. He's in demand for appearances, TV shows, shopping center appearances, and political rallies. And this is my favorite one. So in 1990, he was awarded a special citation from former Lady Imelda Marcos, and joined her to presentation in a special karaoke duet version of My Way.
Oh, wow.
An unauthorized recording of their performance was later released on bootleg cassette and sold 200,000 copies.
Wow.
Oh. That's pretty impressive.
And I can't get a record deal.
Yeah.
there's that trifecta. Oh, man. Oh.
But there's a documentary called The Search for Wang Wang by Andrew Leibold, which I have to find this documentary, but it says Leibold has ascertained that there are 11 confirmed Wang Wang films, with the further 2 awaiting verification. 3 Dolphy films, The Best in the West, Stare, The Quick Brown Fox, are in TV archives in Manila, but the Liliwa production titles are still owned by producer Cora Cabales, and she claimed they are in Betacam and stored somewhere in Manila. So there's some mystery.
I'm sure they're safe.
So
wow.
I'm glad that I was done driving so I could actually, I was really, really happy with my Wang Wang back.
I have to say I'm really happy with your Wang Wang.
Oh, sure.
I'll tell you what,
but
I
like. What did you guys think of the film, though?
Let's see here. I took notes, and overall, for me, it was entertaining. I wasn't really impressed, but it was okay. I didn't really like walk away with, oh my god, this is awesome. But also,
really,
I mean, I was like also kind of like, well, okay. Here's the one note I had. I think that pretty much sums it around. It says, okay, seems like they just run around and chase him, and then he kicks them in the balls the whole movie.
Well, yeah, that's pretty much like the my notes too. And so, you know, like Wang Wang is this 2'9" guy, and he has a regular guy Gordon, and they're secret agents.
Gordon
going to look at the town of, was it Santa Monica?
Yeah, I know they're going to Santa Monica, California. That's a long walk from where they're at.
A very long one. But this was the same with his 007 type movie that I saw on TV, was they're really big into the rescue scenes. There were like 4 rescue scenes.
Yeah.
At least four rescue scenes.
And in this one it seemed like it was escape scenes. Like he was in jail and he escaped. Or like he was caught up,
right,
and strung up and then he escaped.
Yeah, but I have to say though, I'm kind of, you were like, yeah, it was okay. I mean, like, I watched part of it when I was sick, and then I finished watching it kind of day on like my lunch break at work, And there were a couple of times where I really had to try hard not to laugh out loud, like when he picked him up and threw him.
Oh, yeah.
When Gordon picked him up and sailed him through the air.
Threw stuff. Like when he threw the poles at people and they just...
Gordon had a cannon for an arm.
I have Whoa, Mr. T toss. I think Gordon was like the Filipino Mr. T because all he does is throw people like Mr. T did on the A-Team.
Tim and I were
talking about how Gordon kind of gets the short. Oh God, that's a bad pun.
the short end of the wang. Come on, I know you're saying that.
We were talking about because like, two to one now. But he was like this pretty good looking guy, and he was but the little Mr. Wang overshadowed.
Oh, wow.
Everything sounds like a pun. Everything you can't talk about a 2'9" action star without sounding like you're making puns.
Maybe we should let Lupo talk about it. Wait, here we go.
Talk about what? I'm Luke.
We're agents of the government, and we're sent here to investigate the mysterious death of the mayor.
That's not Mr. Wang. Oh, call that guy Tongue Guy.
So can I spoil something?
Spoil away. I mean, first, it's on YouTube, the Wild Wing Wang Wang. Search it if you can find it. You guys hooked me up because I lost it, but it's on there, so spoil away, it's worth watching anyway.
It disappears sometimes too, though, I've noticed, where there have been some times where it's been up and then it goes away and it disappears. But,
so what you're saying is that Wing Wing has been up and then it's been down and then it's been up.
Oh,
jeez,
I did it again. I'm totally... I think I just tied or I took the lead on the... God, I hate myself so much.
All right, so at this point,
what was up? Well, the spoiling thing of it was Lupo, the guy who had his tongue removed, and was doing that horrible sound that, which I don't know which is worse, the Dr. Detroit voice or the Lupo.
Oh, no, I got a follow-up to that. But go ahead. I got a follow-up on that.
But I'm jumping way to the end of it. Like, because there's this gigantic battle where they have a Gatling gun, and you have not lived until you've seen a 2'9" man shoot a Gatling gun into a whole bunch of people. And it's just the craziest.
It's like the same guy stand up and get shot again, except they're somewhere else.
I have this theory that... You what?
Never mind. I just clipped it.
I missed that. I couldn't hear any of that.
No, don't worry about it.
No, you really don't worry about your post.
Stop playing with your wang.
So I wrote a note down here, and I'm like, what is the death count? And I'm like, it's like a pint-sized Punisher. I wrote it. The Filipino pint-sized Punisher. But what was interesting, so they have this big battle, and there's this really, like the hilarious, like, bicycle kick the dynamite into the main villain. Yeah. And then there's the javelin, like, pole-vaulting death.
Yeah.
Which is just a guy. But then... But Lupo gets his revenge, but then gets shot, and then at the end they don't say anything like poor Lupo. They don't bury him. They get the girls and they go, let's go.
Lupo was a big deal with the little native people that helped him out. They're like, thanks, see you.
Oh, God, they...
It's like, thanks, see you.
See ya.
It wasn't even like happy. It was like, thanks, see you.
Well, I don't know if like the acting was better in the native language.
I'm sure the guys that were dubbing over it were tired of it and were just like, literally, thanks, see ya, we're out of here. Just get us the check.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Tim. Well, my favorite thing about Lupo is when like they kept driving around with that Indian guy.
Yeah, on the hood.
And he kept periodically just choking the crap out of him.
Yeah, and he kept, he would smack him, like, he would kind of calm down, and then all of a sudden he would just smack him.
Then
yeah, I would have noted that too. I thought that was funny.
The Indian character that they're driving around looks like that one character from Mortal Kombat, like the tomahawk guy.
I don't know the tomahawk guy.
He was in the second one. But anyway.
But it didn't...
Oh, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, it didn't make any sense, too, like, and I was just thinking about it, like, I don't understand why he was in, like, Native American garb, but then I was thinking, well, maybe he's, like, the giant of the little Indian men that helped
him. Okay, so, Tim, do you have anything to say about the movie? Because I'm about to bust.
Oh, wait a second. I gotta do a little bit of this here. Let's see if I just move this... Wait a second, there you go.
Just a minute.
Listen to me, darling. My heart is aching. Just your sweet smile would ease my heart. Please listen to my love. You're the only
great... Oh, wait. I have one more question about the movie. The scene when Gordon goes to get something to eat with Wang Wang in the bag.
Yeah.
And
that was a straight face.
And then this happens.
Yeah! That came out of nowhere.
Ask you something,
and then it just goes away.
Yeah, but... I was like, "Where the hell did that movie? Where did the goopy synth music come from?
How did they know what the music in my head sounds like?"
But isn't that the same music that they used in South Park?
It sounds a lot like it. That's what I thought too.
That's the one. They're jumping around. They're giant balls.
Yeah.
Yeah, that part was really weird. I didn't understand, like, why suddenly he had to be in the bag. And then the serenading just kind of came out of nowhere.
Well, and then there was that one scene where Wang Wang was escaping prison, and the guy, and Gordon was dressed up as a priest. And, like, he starts going for Gordon, like, almost, like, you know, and I think they played it off in the movie, too. Like, he, like, rammed his head right into Gordon's crotch. And
he was a woman at the end too.
Yeah, and then he like kind of scurried. He scurried. He wasn't like he climbed. It's like he scurried up like a beetle, like up into Gordon. And he like hung onto him. It was kind of creepy looking.
Well, and to me, there's something about that about him that looks kind of sinister too. And then during one of the mini killing scenes, there's the guy with the sombrero is like looks. You know, he looks like he's sleeping. And the guy goes, "Hey, hey." And then he takes the hat off, and Wang Wang is on his shoulders, and he goes, "Ah!" It's terrifying. I'm sorry, I'm jumping around a lot with the movie.
Well, here's
I loved the movie. It was so entertaining. I don't know why.
I appreciated the movie. I didn't really like come away with it. Like, and it's not in my top five. But here's one of the things that dawned on me while I was watching it is that. I think it's a good mixture of like what you mentioned earlier, John, about like our top movies, our top bad movies, right? And then like even like top good movies. Like, okay, so here's what like I put down. They did a cheap, good, the bad, the ugly guitar riff in the middle of it, you know? And that's part of it. Yeah. It's like and then there's also some kind of Blazing Saddles reference, and I think that's part of like with the I mean, they even shot. I swear, in the movie, they were firing the shots in tune with the mariachi music playing in the background.
The music was pretty good too. I mean, like the main theme.
Yeah.
It wasn't like as good as I don't remember is it Sergio Menendez or whatever that did the good, the bad.
Ennio Morricone.
Boy, I was way off now. But I thought the music was pretty entertaining. I don't know. It's weird because I think this may be my favorite movie that we've watched. So, and I know that maybe that sounds like I'm being like,
I think I can explain a little bit more why, because this is what dawned on me, right? It's this Blazing Saddles reference. Like, you remember at the end of Blazing Saddles, they got all the different bad characters, and it seems like this the evil guy had, like, ninjas, Indian people, they had
people.
They had, I was waiting for the Nazis to show up, because they figured, like, they would just throw, they just threw every kind of bad person at Wang Wang, and he, like, fought them off. So I was like, wow, that's totally Blazing Saddles right there, right?
I never thought about that.
So get this.
You know what?
So get this, right? So the first second I saw Tongue Guy, it reminded me of the Tongue Guy from the Story of Ricky. I was like, it's the Tongue Fu from Story of Ricky, right? And you know what? Even for spoiler alert, Tongue Guy dies tragically in that movie too. A Tongue Guy died tragically in this movie. I was like, whoa. So my mind blows. So I'm like watching this movie even further, right? We get it further toward the end, and you could kind of tell the Doom Buggy that they're building up to it. But look at it this way, right? It's like Sonny Boy. It's like with the big gun on Sonny Boy. Wayne has his big gun. He had his Gatling gun, right? So it was like, it was like, I mean, just right off the top of my head, it's like Blazing Saddles, Sonny Boy, Story of Ricky. All these movies that we enjoyed a lot were kind of tied into this. And I think that's what I liked a lot. I just, for some reason, I was like, it didn't blow my, I mean, that blew my mind. But, I mean, the movie itself was, and I think it was because of the dubbing, because it's like, let's go.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Well, I like how it was like the 20 minutes of scenes of he's just walking, and then he'd come across some of the bad guys, he'd beat them up, and he'd save somebody, and they'd say, thank you, Mr. Wang, and he'd say, no problem. Goodbye now.
Exactly. Yeah.
No problem.
With that much emotion. You're welcome. Goodbye now. It's like a speaking spell. I mean, he's about as much emotion as a speaking spell.
And there's always this one guy. Like, every other fight scene, there's always some douchebag who's like, well, yeah, I could have got him, but I had something wrong.
That guy had my favorite line in the movie. And I wrote it down. And it's not that it's like that funny or that insightful movie. But it was just so weird because they're at that weird little bar, snack bar kind of thing. And when he's talking, he's talking like you were saying, like he was like, oh, the good thing they went there, I would have beat him up. And the bad guys come in and he just goes, his line was, Elsa, my vinegar, please. I'm like, and I backed it up. I'm like, did they mean wine? But he said vinegar. He said, Elsa, my vinegar, please.
Maybe he wants to fight.
Mason jar.
Maybe he can't. He's got to have that fresh feeling while fighting.
Yeah.
Elsa,
I'm not feeling as fresh as I should. I will retire to my quarters and hint supply this.
Indian summer's eve.
You're in the lead now.
Yeah, I am. Well, that's the other thing. Like when Wang Wang was jumping off the cliff, they had the $6 million man, like, effects.
Yeah. Too.
I appreciated that they could get away with just ripping off all these different properties because they're in the Philippines and nobody really cared. So.
Oh, but you want to hear something that I figured out?
What's that?
And I wrote down in my notes, I wrote original Indiana Jones. And that's because there's a scene that, remember this famous scene in Raiders of the Lost Ark when the guy's doing all the fancy sword flipping?
Yeah.
And Harrison Ford just reaches in, grabs his gun, and shoots him, which it wasn't in the script.
No, I mean, that's great. Yeah, that's a great story. Yeah, it was improv by Harrison Ford, and they kept it.
Right. But Wang Wang did it to three guys. there were three ninjas spinning their swords around. He's 2'9". He goes walking up. They're spinning their swords and everything, and you're thinking, okay, he's going to try to figure out he's going to pick up a sword. He just took his gun and shot all three of them in a semicircle. So to me, George Lucas stole that. From the Wang Wang.
Yeah, that's right, because that came after the Wang. Yeah.
That's right. So he probably saw this on some, like, at some grindhouse, something on 42nd Street, and it stuck in his head. And then that story's all BS about Harrison Ford. Like, oh, I'm just tired of it. He's like, here, he flips it and you shoot him. It's going to be better than Wang Wang because you're taller.
Well,
so,
they didn't want to get any paper served by Wang Wang or anything.
Well, no, Wang Wang died. And he toward the end of his life, he was a heavy drinker.
Wow. So, I bet he was a lightweight on that, too.
Yeah. I was thinking it, but I didn't want to say it.
Wait a minute. There we go.
Here it comes. It's kind of like the broken $6 million man sound.
Oh, that was him jumping through the air?
That was
yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
That was the wang wang noise.
Wang wang.
So, Tim, so I love the movie. Hokie likes it. Wasn't blown away. What are your thoughts?
I got enough chuckles out of it. I liked it quite a bit. Just watching him run around is horrible. That sounds is pretty funny. But he just looked fake. But,
yeah.
No, I actually was more involved with the Lupo character than anything else, but
Lupo is, I don't know if Lupo is comic relief or what.
Real, he really wanted to cut that guy's tongue out.
I don't know why they didn't let him do it. I mean, I guess because they're government agents and that's kind of dirty pool.
If you get your tongue cut off, I figure you could do a tongue eye for eye, tongue for tongue on that one.
And the part I kept laughing,
yeah,
was they would cut away from like their battle, and you just keep hearing the gunfire from Wang Wen firing that cannon on the back of the truck.
Oh,
I know, that was amazing. And didn't you love it when he shot a rifle?
He had to lean up against the side of the rock or something.
A couple times that he kept doing it. Like the first time he didn't learn. He shot a ninja and he went flying and it didn't stop him. And he shot a ninja and he flew off the side of that cliff kind of thing. And then the next time he's like, okay, I got it this time. But, I mean, he's a resourceful little fellow, though. So here's the other thing, too. I was thinking, okay, granted he's got, a lower center of gravity and he can do things, but he's so little with those fists. I mean, he knocked a couple dudes out, with one punch.
No, I don't believe that.
Yeah.
No. No amount of karate training is going to improve that impact. He can't do, a Bruce Lee one-inch punch. I mean, it'd be, one-centimeter punch, and it would not... It would not be any kind of forceful impact at all.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it would maybe sting a little bit, you know.
I did appreciate the little Indian, people that helped them out, too. They kind of popped out of nowhere. They're kind of like the seven doors of this movie.
Well, I forgot about them because I forgot about that. They come across them early on because I watched it in two different parts. So then when I got towards the end and there was a whole bunch of little Indian men, I was like, this is awesome. This is the best movie I've ever seen.
So Tim, what's your verdict on that?
On the movie?
Yeah.
I'd like to watch the 007 one.
I think the 007 one has a little bit more potential because then he can use technology.
It's good.
Instead of doing Wild West stuff, because one of the things that bothered me about this movie too is in the big fight scene at the end, right? There's some guy... Uh-huh. I don't know if it was Tungy or Gordon, but he literally just walked up behind a bush out in the open and crouched, and that was him hiding, and he surprised the guy. And I was like, you got to be kidding me. So,
Well, what about the weird battle at the end, too, that the one guy, as they're trying to, the bad guys are trying to rule the town, and they're trying to take care of these rebels, basically. And the one guy just basically says, I don't care about, and he spends, 20 minutes just chasing a girl.
Yeah.
If that's your second in command and he's chasing a girl, and it's just man, dude, come on, let's stay focused, buddy.
Speaking of girls, I felt sorry at the end of the movie for that one girl that got the short end of the wang by picking up that guy. Gordon, I'm sure the lady that was with Gordon was a lot happier comparing wise. She's like, oh, I'm glad this guy saved me and not pint size over there.
Well, I gotta tell you, I've seen some of the 007 one,
yeah,
which has an amazing part where he, you know how there's the rescue scenes? This one has a lot of hotel scenes. It's like one of their friends owned a hotel, and there's a lot of breaking in and stealing stuff, and then women coming out of the shower, and then they even make Wang Wang kind of be like a 007. He's like, hey, baby. You know, he's real smooth. And
I'm sure that Wang is real smooth, too.
Well, what was so funny about it, too, was that they kept showing him, and I'm like, am I just not getting this? He's a sex symbol? Really? I mean, is the Philippines really that much different than we're, I don't get it. But they had to say when he goes in there and the secretary for the Secret Service, she comes over and gets on her knees and starts kissing him and hugging him like you do a little child or a puppy. So that was realistic. But then the rest of the movie, he's just kind of like there's a woman who's sleeping in bed, and he like looks under the covers and is like, ooh. Like raises. I'm like, really? We're really gonna go this way?
Speaking of going that way, then okay. So Wang Wang was classified. What does he classify? Like a little person, a midget, a dwarf, a gilder. Like what is he?
Would that be a dwarf? I think. Dwarf, I don't know. Dwarf.
Where I'm going is it kind of. Are the ladies that say that they're like it's just like a normal dude? Is that true or false? Like I haven't seen any movies that could prove it to me, and I figured you guys are as sick as me that you might have come across it at some point.
No, never. No. No,
and not me either. But
yeah, sorry. I don't want to do this research. I will not do this research.
I don't either. You're the bastard that sent me cockhounds. So I figured, or in this case, a Filipino version would be Wang Doggies.
You're so funny. So the other thing that I wonder too is, you know, if he was like he was a real celebrity, like a big time. I wonder if he was married and had any children or anything. Because sometimes smaller people have regular sized children, and then sometimes they're small. And I mean, I would think that if he was that famous, that he probably had a wife at some point or some children.
Or is that why he was a heavy drinker? Is that he was so alone because he realized he was like a novelty and that nobody really truly like.
Maybe he didn't match up.
Maybe he was that generation's Vern Troyer.
Yeah. Oh gosh, that's really sad. Vern Troyer is so.
He's a raging alky.
Yeah.
And then.
Yeah. Did you ever see him in that show, That Surreal Life, when he was?
No, but I do remember someone saying that one of the Bradys held him like a baby when he was passed out drunk.
Yeah, he did. He was snoring, and yeah.
He drove a little cart, and at one point he drove his cart over to, like, the corner when he was drunk, and he got on
his
corner. He was a mess.
So
here's the philosophical question, not to get all deep, but, I mean, maybe I guess in some sense that's exploiting, but do you think that's a horrible thing to do to a person? Because he had his time. He had 15 minutes of fame that the three of us will never probably have.
Combined.
Combined, exactly. But then he burned out. But I mean, like, is it better to have that opportunity and to be famous and to have Imelda DeMarcos, you know, give you an honorary Secret Service? Or is it better just to be, like, respected for being, you know, I don't know.
That's kind of a hard call, right?
I don't think he was being exploited. I mean, his character was not exploitive. That he was like the hero, so.
Yeah.
He was, but we're laughing about it.
It's a little bit, but I mean, if you're going to be dealt that hand, you might as well cash it in.
Yeah, milk it for its worth, right?
Yeah, I guess that's kind of my thing, too. It's like when people go, oh, well, that's exploitive. But I'm like, well, the guy, they didn't, like, he wasn't handicapped. How many people did he kill? He killed as many people as in that really awful Punisher movie with Dolph Lundgren.
Yeah.
I mean, I almost want to watch this movie just to do a body count. Because Wang Wang, I mean, so, killed some guys. He gets a girl in the end, and, you know, he saves the day. So it's kind of like, well, you know, not that exploitive. I mean, it'd be exploitive if it was, well, you know. I don't know. I enjoyed the movie. Yeah. I kind of want to watch it again, like all in one setting, rather than snickering at my desk.
do not fast forward that shit. You gotta stick with Mr. Wang.
But yeah, I definitely can't believe that you wouldn't get a slide whistle sound. It would be better if you were actually sitting there with a slide whistle doing it.
Or Mr. Wang branded slide whistle.
Take note of that right now. Buy slide whistle.
Oh, Secret Your Santa. By the way, Secret Santa, right?
Yeah.
Let's talk some Christmas. I think have we addressed the Wang Wang?
I think we can put Wang Wang to bed.
Right. And so I recommend it. and Oka kind of.
I recommend it. It's not near to my heart, but it's definitely worth watching.
I think it's gonna. I think yeah. some people would.
I think there's something wrong with me because I really liked it. It's like I really enjoyed watching it.
I'd like to watch the 007 one.
Yeah, I want to watch that because I think with the technology, it'd be a lot cooler. And I did go on YouTube and see like a music rap video for Wang Wang. And
I've seen it.
And in one of the scenes, it was kind of 007-y where he had his own little custom motorbike and he jumped a cavern. And the way the jump was is that it looked like the bike was just on a rail and it was just sliding down across the cavern. It was it looked awesome.
Well, I couldn't find like full length movies, but I was really into the whole Turkish superhero ones, but the little clips that I said, and I was trying to find a full length, like, but like I told Tim, I said, is it too hacked to have the Wang Wang thing? Because is it too much, like, is it too obvious, I guess, too hackish to be like, let's watch this movie? But I was like, but I really kind of enjoyed the movie. I enjoyed it more than the Poughkeepsie tapes.
Whatever your pick is what we watch.
I mean, I trust that it's Gonzo enough, and Wang Wang is Gonzo, as far as I'm concerned.
Okay. Okay, good. I didn't want to disappoint anyone.
No.
I lay awake at night going, oh, am I disappointing these guys with my selection?
Wang Wang did not let us down. I gotta stop. No, so...
I still wonder if that's...
Go ahead.
No, I still wonder if, like, if the double name is like that, if that's, like, Dave or Tom Tom. I don't understand, like, why it's twice.
Bruce,
I mean, why isn't it just Wang?
Bruce.
And why that name? I don't get it.
It's Filipino / Asian. There's a lot of Asian surnames that are also aliases for penises. So, I mean,
it all goes back to the
Wang. Yeah.
Dong.
That's having this cousin not very successful in film.
Oh, we have like a Dong Wok Chinese restaurant here in town too.
Oh yeah, there's all.
Yeah, so it's like you can't help but snicker. So that's why you might as well just go with it, right? That's what people
right,
say.
Right.
They should go with this movie because they can get rid of the Wang Wang the penis references really quick and just watch this goofy movie of him jumping around and stuff.
So I've got to go into a little bit, but so you started with Christmas.
Yeah, I don't know what. Oh, Santa Claus the movie, and I got a head start on that. I'm not going to give anything away. I just say I got a head start on the movie. I do have your Secret Santa stuff ready to go, but now I feel like I did it all half price books. So
oh nice.
I feel like I need to at least like go to a thrift store and maybe find some weird contraption or something there, but.
I have to say that I will probably be hitting the half price tomorrow because there's a couple things for you guys. And one of the things I found for Tim, actually I ordered today, will be sent directly to him. And as I said in my email, I put Tim Gonzo Kinney. Oops, I shouldn't say your last name probably.
Yeah, well, right, there you go. It's just slow.
Now everyone will find you. So I put Gonzo in it so you know not to open it. So don't open any package that says Gonzo on it because that's to open on air and we can and I have to say that I'm pretty sure that these are going to be the best gifts that I'm going to get this year. I mean, I'm not because I didn't ask for anything because I honestly tell people I don't want anything because I have like everything that I want pretty much. And I'm not saying I'm rich because I'm poor as can be usually. But it's like I have all kinds of awesome movies, and I have like a backlog of comics, and like there's Netflix, and there's YouTube, and it's like I don't really need anything like that. So I don't know. I'm excited. I'm excited for this. This is a good idea. But on Santa Claus the movie, I don't think I ever saw it when it was out when it first came out.
Well, my remembrance is that you're in for a treat. Mike would say otherwise.
Well, I haven't finished it yet, and I had chili coma going on, but I'm not going to give anything away. That'll be the next episode.
Okay.
We'll go over. I do have to make. I want to make a quick run down through the thrift store, so I'll be sending out your guys' stuff. We'll be ready for another episode, a very special Christmas episode of Gonzo Guys.
Do we want to talk about like some of our Christmases? Because you know I. I kind of, if we, you know, I know we want to keep it short, but like, you know, because like we did talk about Thanksgiving.
Oh, totally. Yeah, I'm planning on getting wasted with eggnog, so I'm gonna gush about Christmas past.
It's a Christmas.
Oh, okay.
If it goes a little long, then so be it.
Yeah. Let's put no time constraints.
Yes,
and if we could, and I don't know what your guys' Christmas plans are too, but you know, like
we're not going anywhere. We're staying here in town. Our Thanksgiving trip was our trip, so we're staying here in town.
Okay, and yeah, awesome. Yeah, we should even drink some eggnog, and you know, because
isn't that a Native American drink, eggnog?
Is it?
I don't know.
I didn't know that.
Man, if they had a damn Native American, that's the one takeaway from this episode, is that there is not a freaking Native American fast food joint anywhere, and that's frustrating. The hell is littering the side of the road. Where the hell is my fast food version of your ethnic background? Where is that?
Yeah, like, but I don't really know what the food would be, but like other than that bread and the taco things that my friend in the past told me about. But I love corn on the cob, and I love going to the market out here because they have this corn on the cob like at the flea market, like and it's, they put butter, mayonnaise, and Parmesan cheese on it, and then sprinkle it with hot sauce.
So,
and it's delicious.
So that could be like the Native American fast food is corn on the cob.
I think corn. Like some
corn
sort
on the go. Call it corn on the go. Get it like with like whatever flavors you want, and they'll bake it in the husk, and then they'll serve it to you right at the window.
And then you would also have the bread too, like Tim was talking about. That really delicious fried bread.
And the only kind of man that would run that kind of place is Dr. Detroit, of course.
Oh no, my phone's been breaking up.
Yeah, yes. Yeah, I gotta put some hot butter on the corn. Now, don't shuck it. I know your grandma wanted you to shuck it, but here at the Taco Shack / Indian Corn Up and Go, we're gonna keep it all together, and then you put the butter in the husk.
Yeah. You know, do you think that, and then you'd have Lupo picking the drive-thru order?
I can't understand what you're doing. You need to. How is that English as a second language class going for you, Lupo?
Well, I still can't understand you.
It would take about a week before someone would drive an 18-wheeler through that taco shack for that. And it would splinter, and there would just be Lupo's poncho and a metal hand there where the sack used to be.
My hand, how am I going to shred chicken?
The reason I keep you around, Lupo, is that you're off the books and I can pay you very cheap. Now, I understand that it's a benefit for me, because you can't speak English and tell them that you're not of this naturalized citizen. But the least you can do is take the order.
I don't know what's worse, the Lupo voice or the Dr. Detroit. The Dr. Detroit is like the two things that give me goosebumps and bother me are the fingernails on the chalkboard and those foam number one hands. If I put one of those things on, I just instantly go into goosebump mode. But now I think that the Dr. Detroit voice just kind of giving me goosebumps. that's gonna haunt me.
Yeah, well, it is Dr. Detroit. It was his taco shack. It's a Filipino movie. I'm sure there's some kind of Native American fare that they could do. I'm telling you, it's a
Filipino bomb. Food is delicious, though. Yeah, well, that's what we should try. We should give it a shot. You know what? And this, and my duty, because like, you know, Hoki, you guys are both the tech guys. I kind of feel like I have to be the research guy. I, for the next Christmas thing, I will do some research on Native American food and maybe come up with some sort of a business plan idea.
I'm down, because actually the corn on the cob to go is an amazing idea.
It's delicious. It is so unbelievably good. And I had been to the flea market in San Jose, and I didn't know what they were putting on it. I'm like, what are they putting on corn? Because corn was always just butter, right?
Yeah, but you can have recipes, right?
There's
garlic.
Yeah.
Garlic butter. You can have a dessert version that's like cinnamon and caramel or whatever. And
big tubs of melted butter. And, oh, man. I'm so hungry. I'm going to go eat corn on the cob, even though I cracked my tooth. I'm pulling up in my driveway now, and I'm just going to run in, throw my backpack down, and just heat up my corn on the cob, and I'm buttering it up.
It says, nothing says Native American food like two Germans and an Irishman.
Exactly.
That's the name of the place, two Germans and an Irishman. Like, what do you sell, Irish and German food? No.
All the while, we're talking about Wang Wang and buttering up your cob.
And that is just running up the score at this point. With that one, that is just like that's the Pete Carroll thing. The what's your deal? why are you running up the count on me? How am I being dive bombed here? So all right, well I guess we will make plans then. Happy belated Thanksgiving, my friend.
Yeah,
and,
definitely. If anything, we've walked away with a great business idea and a good movie, and we talked a lot about food today.
Detroit's a busy man.
That's right. He runs multiple businesses, ma'am.
All right. Well, I gotta sign off, dudes. I'll shoot you an email later, and we'll figure out the Christmas.
All right. Wait. What are we going out?
All right, man.
What are we going out on? Oh, that's what we're going on. I'll just loop that forever.
Talk to you guys later.
All right, later, man.
Later. Bye. Oh,